Hi, everybody. Welcome to Two Off the First for today, October the 7th, 2022. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Good to have you here with us. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. We are presented by our friends at French Lick Resort. We have two stories for you today, as the name of the show implies. One is a continuation of yesterday's show related to the whole thing about Liv and the MENA Tour and world ranking points. And then we will actually get into some real tournament golf with the PGA Tour event this week, the Shriners Children's Open. We'll go a little bit over what's happening in Spain with the Open de España and some interesting results yesterday on the LPGA from their event, the MetaHeal Championship at the Sadaquoi Club. Hope I'm saying that right, in Northern California. So let's start with Liv. And primarily, this is all about the fallout from the official World Golf Ranking saying that the Liv event this week and next week in Saudi Arabia will not get official World Golf Ranking points as they review the kind of means of this new, quote-unquote, strategic alliance with the MENA Tour, the Middle East and North Africa Tour, which has suddenly been thrust into the spotlight and probably a whole lot of negative press about what appears to be kind of a shell-slash-sham relationship with this tour as it looks to relaunch after effectively being a zombie tour for 2 years because of the COVID pandemic. Really no fault of their own, but they finished their 2020 season this year, and then they were going to have a 2022-2023 season. And with this new strategic alliance with the Liv Golf Group, they have made all of the Liv players into MENA members, and they have made all of the Liv Invitational Series events this year, the three remaining, and the Liv Golf League events still somewhat TBD for next year as MENA events. And they've submitted that to the official World Golf Ranking. They said, here's our field for this week. Please give us points. Thank you. And the official World Golf Ranking said, whoa. This looks really similar to the Liv Golf field this week and next week. And you're calling it MENA Tour events. How is that possible? We're going to take some time to review this. In the meantime, we're just not going to be able to do it. We can't do this in 2 weeks. So no points for you for now. We'll see in February the soonest we can give you points for a Liv Golf event. How's that sound? And obviously that upsets the folks of the MENA Tour, but that also specifically upsets the folks with Liv Golf who really can't do anything about it. It's not like they can just dole out points like shares or something. They can't do that. They don't have the authority to do that. So, and there would be no recognition of it anyway. So now you've got these events that are unfolding. You've got the Bangkok-Thailand event, which started last night, middle of the night, East Coast time. And I woke up after falling asleep during Thursday night football to see something like 16,000 people were watching. So obviously, not a whole lot of people were watching on YouTube. It's really kind of hard for people in the United States to stay up and watch anything happening live in Asia. And so there really wasn't much of an audience for this event, so it seems. And of course, that could have gotten bigger. I went to bed. So I have no idea what the final number is. I'm not necessarily trying to indict that, but kind of hard to pay attention to Liv when it's happening in the middle of the night in the United States. In the meantime, David Spencer, who's the commissioner of the MENA Tour, which I also think is kind of interesting, a guy who's heading a tour in the Middle East and North Africa named David Spencer. But okay, we won't make fun of his name or his relationship to the MENA Tour. Nevertheless, he put out a statement in the middle of the night, again, about what has happened with the submission to the official World Golf Ranking and their response to it. And obviously, he's not very thrilled about it, but this is the first time I've ever heard from the MENA Tour at all. Any kind of media account, and I'm totally fine with that. I want their correspondence, but this is the first I've ever heard from David Spencer, so I don't really know anything about the guy, right? But here's what he says in part. We have had various communications with OWGR since submitting our 2022-2023 schedule, MENA Tour handbook, exemption criteria, and our field ahead of our opening event of our new season, which tees off today. None of this communication pointed towards any technical reason for the Liv Golf Invitational Bangkok to be treated any differently to any MENA Tour event, every one of which has received OWGR points, presumably, since we were accepted into the OWGR framework in 2016. We have followed the OWGR guidelines for our 2022-23 season. Recently, there has been much talk in the golf world about limited field tournaments and 54-hole tournaments. For absolute clarity, the OWGR itself defines a limited field tournament as a tournament which has less than 30 qualified players. That is true. Furthermore, the MENA Tour has always had the OWGR's blessing to stage 54-hole tournaments. Also true, with a point-capped number. Now, that has seemingly changed with the way the official World Golf Ranking now calculates field strength, but still 54-hole events have always had field caps. So Spencer's trying to give back to the OWGR, or I guess make public some of the realities of the OWGR. So he goes on to say, the OWGR states, the prime objective of the ranking is to maintain, review, update, administer, and promote the recognition of a system that fairly ranks the relative performance of golfers participating in the leading men's professional tournaments throughout the world, end quote. Clearly, the MENA Tour's first event of the 2022-23 season, the LIV Golf Invitational Bangkok, is one of those tournaments, and accordingly should be included in this week's OWGR events. Sidebar, it hasn't. Not including our event in this week's OWGR render the results and subsequent player movements inaccurate. Also not true. As per the OWGR guidelines, we will be lodging our field for the LIV Golf Invitational Jeddah prior to the deadline of October 12th. I also want to wish our 48 MENA Tour members who are teeing off in Bangkok this morning all the very best for our first tournament of the 2022-23 season, and assure all of our members that we will continue to work tirelessly to resolve this situation with the OWGR. And there's a sentence at the end that's philosophical. So that's what we have here. We have in LIV and MENA a partnership that is upset that the OWGR told them, hey, you're basically copying and pasting fields from one tour to another. So we don't really understand how this can be a MENA Tour event and a LIV event at the same time, given that there was literally no relationship for you before this week that we know of, and so we've got to investigate it. Now, to be fair, perhaps, and maybe you don't have to be fair, but to be fair, perhaps, to LIV and MENA, it also doesn't take that long, 2 weeks, for the official World Golf Ranking to get together and decide what they're going to do. They're doing that because that means that absolves them of having to give LIV any points whatsoever in 2022. And that is a very convenient situation for them because they couldn't award points for the final event of their series, the team event in Miami. Team events don't get points. So for the official World Golf Ranking, they can just take non-action and just say, hey, we've got to review this and we're sorry, we can't do it that quickly. It just so happens it's going to take at least 2 weeks because you have events in back-to-back weeks. Sorry, guys, we'll get back to you. Thanks so much. And that creates an awkward situation here. And I think it is pretty fair to say, hey, it really doesn't take that long to figure out whether this is something worth awarding points to or just telling them outright no. And if you just told them outright no, you could say, hey, but you guys also submitted to being your own tour in July. So if you submitted to being your own tour in July, which you have declared, then how can you have the same tour here and the same event here and be both at the same time? And unless you're calling it a co-sanctioning thing, then you're lying. So I think what they have to come up with, LIV and MENA, is some kind of way of branding this as a co-sanctioning instead of LIV events being under the MENA Tour schedule, because that's obviously a kind of way of shuffling papers to try to get world ranking points. Even if they could, this again seems kind of like gaming the system. And if the OWGR were to go to LIV and say, hey, look, your events have players. You have 20 of the world top 100 in your field. That's not a bad thing. And those events perhaps warrant some degree of recognition, but you still have to follow our guidelines. You haven't existed for a year, even if you have a relationship now with a tour that has existed since 2016 in terms of the OWGR universe. And you may have that relationship, but you still have to follow all of the guidelines because you're either telling us that the MENA Tour is one and the same, that all the $75,000 events that they have and all the $20 million events that they have with LIV are one and the same tour. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. That just doesn't pass the smell test. So if you said, okay, well, the MENA Tour, the $75,000 events, is some kind of feeder into the LIV series. Now you've got a developmental tour angle to it. Okay, maybe you're getting somewhere with that. I think you have to make some kind of rational explanation for how you have two events that have that drastically different value of purses, and they haven't made that. The other thing we didn't talk about the other day I thought was really interesting is the Asian Tour stance in all of this. And I don't understand, and I said this to James Corrigan at the Telegraph, who reported the story initially, at least from the journalist perspective. I think Jenna Sims broke the news. But at least I said to him, why wouldn't they do this with the Asian Tour? They have agreed to invest hundreds of millions of dollars into the Asian Tour through the International Series and prop up that tour by making the Saudi International their flagship event. They have promised tons and tons of money. And so in exchange, they couldn't even get the Asian Tour to say, live events are Asian tour events. Why is that? And we haven't gotten the proper explanation for that. And I'm not sure that we're going to, because I don't think the Asian tour is going to come out and say, hey, we didn't really want any part of this scheme. But I think the reality is, for the Asian tour, they have two tours they're operating. They have the Asian tour, and within that, they've got the regular events and the international series. Doesn't matter, they're all Asian tour events, right? And then you've got the Asian Development Tour, which is their feeder tour. Now, last December, they said they were going to form a partnership with the MENA Tour to, again, kind of be a feeder, almost like PGA Tour Latino America and Canada are to the Korn Ferry Tour. The MENA Tour would be to the Asian Development Tour, then into the Asian Tour, or something like that. And that is gone. That has been wiped out. There's no mention of that on either website at this point. So apparently that either fell apart, or this is kind of how that works now. That's the arrangement that has been negotiated with LIV. Either way, the Asian Tour is not sanctioning LIV-specific events. And is that because they're 54 holes? And that means the Asian Tour doesn't want to endanger their ability to offer points to their players at the risk of offending the OWGR by putting on 54-hole events and saying, oh, well, most of our events have a cut. Most of our events have full fields. We have a promotion and relegation system. Therefore, you should just tack on LIV and we're all good. There has to be a technical reason for that. And I don't think it's, I'd like to believe it's not just as simple as we just thought MENA has 54-hole events. We have 54-hole events, so we just sandwiched them together. That would not make a whole lot of sense, but it could be as simple as that from a perception standpoint. Either way, we're going to wait a while for this, and I don't think that the OWGR is going to come back and say, hey, congrats, guys. Great job on your strategic alliance. We're going to give you points now. They're just going to review it. They're going to review the application just like they always have. They're going to probably continue to a degree slow walk it. And even if they slow walk it and come up with a response that's favorable, they're still going to say you have to have been around for a year. But the LIV Golf Invitational Series isn't permanent. It's a one-time thing. So if the OWGR says, well, that's a one-time thing, now the LIV Golf League is its own thing, we've got to look at that. That's got to be around for a year. Now we're talking 2024 until you get points at all, if they take that approach. So probably a lot more heartbreak to come on this for fans of LIV. Again, I can kind of understand some of the pain around it, not liking what's been said from the OWGR, not liking the response, feeling like it's being slow walked. I can understand all of those things. If I were a LIV fan or someone who thought LIV should be getting world ranking points without really meeting the ecosystem that exists for the OWGR, I would completely understand your point of view. Really would. But that's not the way it works. And so we're kind of at this point. All right, let's shift away from OWGR mechanics to the action on the PGA Tour, a little bit of LPGA Tour, a little bit of European Tour, or DP World Tour. Shriners Children's Open is this week. TPC Summerlin is the host course in Las Vegas. There's also TPC Las Vegas, by the way, that had hosted this event as part of a rotation back in the day before it all went to one course. It's been basically one course for about, 12, 13 years now. So this is the Summerlin course. Summerlin is technically in Las Vegas, even though Summerlin's kind of really its own thing, and then there's Henderson. But anyway, geography aside, host venue this week is a place where players can go pretty low. I mean, we've seen players get in the mid-20s under par. It's a pretty easy golf course that the wind doesn't pick up. There's really been one year in the last 6-7 where that's actually happened. Patrick Cantlay won that year under difficult scoring conditions. This week, no such thing. Tom Hoagie shot 8-under-63 in the first round. He leads by a shot over Maverick McNealy, who is a Vegas local, has never really done anything in this tournament, and Siwoo Kim on 7-under-par, 64. We had some inkling Siwoo Kim was going to play well. We had some inkling Tom Hoagie was going to play well. If you listen to my golf betting podcast, The Press, we tip both of those guys more of a degree, Siwoo probably, than Tom Hoagie, but hey, Hoagie got the job done, took the first round lead. And then you look at the guys at 6-under-par, Tom Kim's right there, the guy we liked at the start of the week. 6-under-par 65, along with Sam Ryder, Keith Mitchell, Will Gordon, Thomas Dietrich, defending champion Sungjae Im, Tyler Duncan, Seung-Hoon Kim. Those guys are all at 6-under-par, and then you've got a whole list of people at 5-under-par. And something I found really funny among the guys that are 5-under-par is Patrick Rogers. And that's not funny, but one of the sports books, I believe it was BetMGM, but please don't hold me to that. I saw a screenshot of this, so I'm not 100% sure, on Twitter. But a lot of weeks, just kind of explain gambling for maybe people who don't do it, don't care. They offer kind of what are called prop bets, like special bets, and they'll take certain players out of the field. So they'll say the winner of the tournament minus probably the two most likely players to win. So Sung Jae-im, and in this case, it would have been Patrick Cantlay. But I think they made an error, because they made a wager available that was who would win the event minus Sung Jae-im and Patrick Rogers. And I saw that and thought, okay, well, I'm going to slam Patrick Cantlay then, because I would think he's going to win the tournament. He's playing great golf. He's kind of a stone-cold killer. Maybe he would use that as a chip on the shoulder if it ever got back to him. Well, as it turns out, maybe that wasn't a total misprint. Maybe they really like Patrick Rogers this week in the sports books, because he's minus five, and he's just three out of the lead going into day two, which is about to get underway here in Vegas. They're 3 hours behind. It's about almost 10 a.m. when we're recording this. So tee time start just around 7 a.m., and they'll be getting underway here pretty briefly. And Patrick Rogers kicks things off, actually. He's out there with Stephen Yeager, who's on the other side of the golf course, but Rogers would be going off the first tee today. Max Homa shot a pretty good score. Not bad. Mito Pereira, who played in the President's Cup, minus four. They're both minus four for the day. Cheston Hadley, a long shot that we talked about on the show, minus four. And then for the record, Cantlay minus four and Cam Davis minus four as well. So a lot of players had good days yesterday. If you shot over par, you might as well just go home. There's no chance of you making the weekend unless you shoot 59 today. This is going to be a pretty deep tournament, it looks like, with perfect weather conditions in Vegas. Want to move briefly, very briefly, to the LPGA event out in California, just a little bit more west of where they are, Northern California, the MediHeal Championship. Lake Merced, which is undergoing a restoration project, is not hosting this year, so it's the Sadaquoi Club, which, again, I've never heard of, but it looks like it's a tremendous, tremendous golf course. That is hosting Jody Ewert-Shadoff, one of the best, really, short game players in the LPGA, and on a golf course that seems to require a short game. Shot 8-under 64 to take the lead. She was playing out of her mind yesterday. Allison Lee, UCLA product, and Ruijin Liu are 6-under par each. Ataya Tidikal, who won a couple weeks ago, and Danielle Kang, who lost in that playoff to Ataya, are both 5-under, along with Paula Rito, who won the CN Canadian Women's Open for her first LPGA Tour win just a few weeks ago. And that's a pretty decent leaderboard there at the top of the board. Annie Park, minus four, USC product. Stephanie Meadow, minus four. Gabby Lopez, who won recently. Lucy Lee, who's going to be on the LPGA next year. She is graduating from the Epson Tour. Remember, she was the youngest player ever in the U.S. Women's Open. What, like 11 years old? She is 4-under par, and she's making a stand here on the LPGA. So pretty cool to see. Good event. We'll get more of that today. That's out on the West Coast. And then on the DP World Tour, they're at the Acciona Open de España in Madrid, the Club de Campo in Madrid. The venue has hosted this for a couple of years running now. They're going low as well. This is a venue also where you go low. Paul Waring leads. He's through his second round today. There's still action ongoing. There's an afternoon wave happening. But Kiradek Abibarmat, who was the leader of the tournament yesterday, shot 2-under today, 10-under total. He's tied for fourth with Darius Vandreel. Obviously, the biggest name player in the field is Jon Rahm. He supports this tournament. He came here last year pretty tired after, the FedEx Cup season, FedEx Cup playoffs, but also the Ryder Cup being pasted in that. And he didn't really have much of a chance, even though he was pegged as a, I believe, plus 225 favorite going into the tournament. He is a plus 240 favorite this year, and he is minus 7. He shot 64 yesterday, put up a great round, but is even par through 7 holes while we're taping this. We'll see where he winds up going into the weekend. But this is going to be another tournament where going low matters. Seems like through the three major tours, that's what we're going to get. Over at LIV, they also went low. Like I said, I didn't really watch any of it. But Richard Bland and Eugenio Lopez Chacara are minus 7 through the first round, if that means anything to you. It seemed like a lot of the players who typically play well on LIV so far, Cameron Smith, Dustin Johnson, have not really shown up. They didn't play well in the first round. As I mentioned, not many people were paying attention, and it looked like from the few seconds that I watched, there weren't really many people at the venue. There was also a horrible tragedy in Thailand yesterday it sounded like the murder of 30 children. Very, very, very disturbing situation. So I'm sure there really wasn't a whole lot of focus on what was happening at LIV, to be absolutely candid with you. But that tournament is still ongoing, and the second round will start tonight, late tonight in the United States. So that's going to do it for us today on 2 Off the First. We'll come back tomorrow with a weekend show for you, and then we'll get things ready for the final round on Sunday as well in the morning. Thank you so much for watching. We really appreciate it. Or thank you so much for listening. We're now available as a video on Golf News Net's YouTube channel as well as on golfnewsnet.com. You can, of course, continue to listen to us through podcasts. If you do, we'd appreciate a 5-star review. If you're listening to us through Apple Music or iTunes, either way, would be very appreciative. Helps us reach more people. You can reach Golf News Net, your favorite social media service, at the handle Golf News Net. Thank you again for watching. We will talk to you tomorrow on 2 of the 1st.